Good afternoon, friends. This is United in Prayer. Almighty and eternal Father, again we enter into thy presence to worship you in spirit and in truth. Be guided by thy word, to recognize thy instructions, thy commandments, and thy law, to acknowledge thy grace, and to be thankful for that which you wrought for us in the atonement, establishes us before thee justified by thy grace. Thankful, our Father, that we who are thy children can by thy Spirit understand that we are a household in thee. And we can say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and know that thou art our Father and we are thy offspring. Our Father, we pray that you will grant unto us the realization of our responsibility as thy household in the earth in this time. Cause us to recognize the location of thy church as the spiritual center of thy kingdom, and to identify the difference between thy kingdom and the powers of darkness. And as we serve thee in this hour, to realize that you have selected us for this day, you have determined our coming into the earth, from the time of our birth, all things are known unto thee. And so we say, thy will be done in earth with complete trust, that thou art able to bring all things to pass which you proclaim, that you're able to keep that which is committed unto thee against that great day of thy final power and triumph. So we say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we ask it. Amen. Speaking this afternoon on the subject of the way of Cain, which is a proper subject for this day, for this hour, and for this week. For this week is a week that demonstrates the whole general pattern of darkness. It demonstrates the proximity with which the fulfillment of Scripture identifies your age. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Someone said, what was wrong with the days of Noah? Well, in that land where Noah lived, everything was wrong. Basically, it was the way in their eating and drinking and their giving in marriage, they were violating divine laws. Well, so there isn't anything wrong with eating, no, unless you eat with the dogs. Isn't anything wrong with drinking? Yes, when you lose your senses and possess no temperance and eat with the enemies of God and drink with the enemies of God. But there's a lot wrong with giving in marriage when you join yourselves under the pagans and under the beast system and under the forces of evil. So therefore, these are the accusations of measure as to the judgments of the day of Noah and why they fell. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. I think for sheer hypocrisy and for areas of deviation from the pattern of divine law, that we had a application of this week. But this is a great nation of God's kingdom with great responsibility for this age. And the chief executive of this age defected from the way of righteousness. The President of the United States got up and made a speech. The speech was sheer hypocrisy and he looked like he'd had a hangover. He misapplied his policies and his wishes to the thinking of Abraham Lincoln and Jesus Christ, and probably envisioned himself as part of both. But neither Abraham Lincoln nor Jesus Christ had anything in common with what he was promoting. Any strict policy of the Communist Party is to be repudiated, and any strategy which they support must be wrong. They have highly engineered and developed this whole area of race troubles and problems and violence. They are directing it to bring down the defeat of the status quo of your white Christian civilization. It is designed to destroy your faith, your race, and your nation, and anything that aids it is evil. It builds its concepts on false ideology, and it seeks to make it look as though it is a benevolent philosophy. The advocacy that
there is the teaching in the scriptures of all races being equal is a lie. The advocates say that our founding fathers, when they talked about the fact that it was self-evident that all men were created equal, that they were talking about any other race, then your race is also a lie. For your founding fathers didn't consider these people in the same category at all. I point out to you that to suggest that Abraham Lincoln believed in racial equality, or believed that because he opposed slavery and felt that it was going to bring a great evil upon this race because he was worried that eventually it might bring about interbreeding and eventually mongrelization, as well as the impact of the fact that slavery itself he felt was psychologically wrong. And I have volumes of Laconia and things said by Lincoln and written by Lincoln that go back to his time and books that were written in his day. And Abraham Lincoln did not believe in equality of races, and he did not believe that Negroes should ever assume an area of citizenship where they would have an opportunity to vote. Now you say, well, Dr. Swift, what you're talking about now has long been bypassed by changes, but since the issues are where they are today, I'm going to talk about the facts. Abraham Lincoln said the two races, such as ours and the Negro race, could not live side by side, one superior and the other inferior in the same country without all kinds of problems developing. He therefore supported a policy that would somehow transplant the Negro, the lesser society, back out into an area where they would not be faced with the impossible competition and where they would be unable to even acquire any status of equality. He did not believe a lesser race should ever be permitted to vote to determine the affairs of a superior society, that this would not be right nor fair and would be a greater evil even than slavery. In one of his writings, Abraham Lincoln said that if we permitted now, because of the program of suggested emancipation, the Negro to now come out with his illiteracy, with his inabilities, with his inferiority, to gain a pattern of administration over the higher order and over this race, that the inevitable destruction of our nation would take place. He said after the Civil War had been launched, that he also saw the resulting conditions that took place. He said, had I realized the proportion of damage that this would do to our race, I would never have instituted any suggestions that could have led to any part of this. Abraham Lincoln was absolutely accurate, and he said that no inferior society should ever be able to make decisions that would affect the governing of a superior society, or else man would be enslaved by inferiority. If Mr. Johnson would quote Abraham Lincoln on what he had to say about Negro voting, he wouldn't have made that speech. And then when he says that he was upholding the commandments and the ordinances of God that ordained that all men were equal, there is no more fallacious statement that ever came from an executive before a nation than to say that God believes in equality when he knew the difference between peoples and races and beings, and advocated nothing but the superiority of his own household and the holy seed, and refused to permit them to intermingle or to intermarry or to dwell or to permit the enemies or the peoples of any other race or society to join to his people. God taught the total superiority of the Adamic race, the white race in Israel. God not only taught this very clearly, but all of his ordinances and commandments are related to it. And his requirements run through the entire Old Testament, and it's sustained through the New Testament, and the most embarrassing thing that the president could have done would have been to quote Jesus on the subject. Jesus said, for you to not cast your pearls before swine. In fact, he makes it rather clear over here in the book of Matthew. He says, neither shalt thou give anything that is holy unto the dogs, nor shall you cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet. Is that what he was talking about animals? He was talking about people. When Jesus turned to the negress and said, "It's not meet to give the children's bread to the dogs," he knew what he was talking about. This wasn't harsh, this was fact. Oh, you might find quite easy for the administration and a lot of muggle-minded people to condemn me for even saying what I've just stated, but they're condemning what the Scripture contains. I don't care how many people have been enamored by their trips around the world with all of the strange exotic patterns of society they found among all the heathen and the pagans. Doesn't stir me a bit. I don't care how many people have been on safari down in Africa and they suddenly become attached to those carrying their burdens. That's all right. You can get attached to horses, too, and you can get attached to a lot of other things. But that doesn't change the Word of God concerning these peoples and yours, responsibility to your society, to your posterity, to your nation. There is no question about the fact the Bible has been quite implicit, and the Scripture quite well determines the difference between these peoples and races, and all these platitudes made up by imputing this to God or to Abraham Lincoln, either one, doesn't change the facts. Nor, my friends, was all America sold. For this, I hear, is rather unique. They had to add clapping machines in order to get the volume of clapping they wanted for the air. Well, you see, I saw a lot of people clap, but they weren't making much noise, apparently. They had to increase the clapping with clapping machines. I saw a lot of people just sitting there. I saw some of them with stony stares who felt that this was a terrible thing. I saw lots of people that wouldn't stand in an ovation. And then every time the president turned, and in his anger because they weren't giving it to him in sections, and he glared at them like this, some of them feebly just went like this. Why? Even if all the people in that united set of houses approved this, it's still wrong. Because I know that it is only demagoguery and its only desire for political favors that causes any man to kowtow to this era. I know that in the heart of almost every white man, everything associated with this whole racial situation is making him wretch. There's no doubt that we're having ample opportunity to watch how the communists are functioning. We've had two communists here in this city this week who have been in the penitentiary together because they perjured themselves before government committees concerning their communist connections, while both of these men have had their part in sabotaging the areas of our statecraft and the areas of our foreign service and our State Department, and one of them even masterminded and designed for his communist friends the United Nations, and this is Alger Hiss. And what was he doing in Los Angeles? He's working with the Civil Rights Revolution, setting up this phase and setting up the liaison for the big show back there. In fact, when the President of the United States came out to call these who had created the violence of the revolution freedom fighters that were holding up a high standard of Americanism today, and they were lifting up their desire for freedom, and he praised them as great warriors for freedom, he said nothing about the evils of Rochester, New York, and the looting and the robbery, or what happened in Philadelphia, what's happening all over the United States today. He virtually then gave them an approbation for violence, revolution, and evil on the grounds of supposedly fighting for freedom and for a status that could never exist. When he said, "I'm going to give Congress a law, and I'm not going to wait 8 months for them to pass it, I want them to get on it and get it out right now," and he told the committees, "I want it out by the 9th of April. 9th is no good judgment. The president does not give the Congress of the United States a law. He humbly said, "I would like a bill like this. Will you pass it?" But he doesn't say, "I give you a law and you've got to do it." Shades of Stalin. Will the Congress abdicate? Oh, they rushed it pretty fast through facets of the House because you've got Jew Seller sitting on the judiciary, but there's a pretty good strong man in the Senate, Senator Eastland. And he declares this infamous bill isn't going to come riding out of his judiciary until it's all trimmed down to size. Oh, threatened decree, reprisals on areas. Already they're starting to cut off the phony money that they've delegated for education to areas of the South because the South didn't conform to the administration design, so they don't want them educated. One moment they're talking about education, one they say, now you can't have it, and one moment they talk about funds that are needed here to develop a society, then they turn around and say, we're going to punish you, you can't have it. Let me tell you something, any part of the East United States is qualified to get anything that the government's giving away of the people's money. If you can tax people, then they all should get an equal share of it, or the whole business should be cut out. This is Babylon and Baalism embodied again in the peculiar complex of conceit. So we listen to the threats. We listen to the declaration. We listen to him say that all the citizens, he was going to let anybody be a citizen. He didn't care about his nation, his race, or his faith. He's going to see that if they wanted to be, they could be citizens of the United States. Well, I think we should start drawing the line right now. Because every Chinaman and every African in the country will, and throughout the world will say, I want to be a citizen, and they're not going to keep me out because of my country, nor of my race, nor of my faith. And you don't have any immigration laws whatsoever. We must have immigration laws or we better start fighting. He said that every citizen was going to be able to vote. All he has to do is be able to write his name, and they can teach him to do that. He may not be able to read or what it's all about. He may not know what he's voting for, but the party bosses will mark his ballot. All he's got to do is learn how to put a stamp on the right spot. That's what they want. They know if they can hold the 49 million of the unassimilatable minorities and all the people that are involved in that and vote them as one mass, that'll be very helpful to their demagoguery. It is the church's business, very, very vitally the church's business, to warn against any descent of our Christian society into degeneration. It is the church's business to proclaim, thus saith the Lord. How suddenly some of those that are supposed to have been patriotic writers or whose bulletins were supposed to be important have suddenly come out in the last few weeks and said, now the Bible says the flesh profiteth nothing. Never mind the political area, never mind the race issue, just love Christ and go to heaven. Why are they suddenly trying to get the Christian American that's alert to do nothing? Because, my friends, it's the only way the Antichrist can take over. And a lot of these silly people, one moment they talk about fighting the enemy, and the next moment they want to leave the field to the devil. Says, so, Dr. Swift, aren't you worried about going to heaven? No, if I have to worry about to get there, we'd make it. If the grace of God isn't sufficient, if fulfilling His word, if trying to carry out His instructions, if occupying the earth is not the course that He wants, if His atonement was not enough, if His justification is not complete, I'm not going to make it, so I'm going to fight to the end anyhow. I'm going to tell you something. You can't destroy spirit. Spirit has eternal life. The Father said all Israel is going to be saved. I'm not a bit worried about it. All I've got to do is just make sure the schmooze don't come in and corner Israel. I'm going to point out to you that there are some very vital things that we need to understand. Over in the book of Jude, Jude the Apostle is talking about the end example. That's the things that happened in the end time that had their forerunners way back in early areas of development. The whole book of Jude is trying to secure your race and Christian society from the evil, lasciviousness, and the violent patterns of moral and sex crime that could destroy a race and injure a society. That's what Jude's writing about. That's what he's talking about. And all these phony-mouthed, so-called leaders of New Order that want you to mongrelize, integrate, and co-associate with everything that's possible to associate with. Therefore, I put you in remembrance how Yahweh saved you out of the land of Egypt, and so you had to be Israel, that wouldn't have any effect on you. You know, almost every bit of this entire New Testament, if you're not Israel, this is good for Don Bell to learn, a lot of other people. If you're not Israel, then no part of this New Testament is going to do you any good. Because it was written to people that were Israel, and all of these writings talk about how God delivered us out of Egypt, how all our fathers passed through the same waters, took in the same manna. All of the things that were called in every epistle, it's to the elect, to the strangers of the dispersion, the people according to the foreknowledge of God. Why, we're just absorbing somebody else's literature if we're not the people of this book. But they can't trot out any other white race, you know. They're just one white race. Listen. Angels that didn't keep their first estate, left their own inhabitation, reserved in judgment to the climax of the great day of God's judgment. For they participated in a violent crime. These Nephilim and their offspring of that violence also sought to corrupt all the peoples of creation and the entire earth. They intermingled with the peoples of the various created races as well as the Adamic race of the Most High God. And these angels didn't keep their first estate, and therefore they corrupted themselves in this mongrelization. And Sodom and Gomorrah were two cities that had in it not only fallen angels and demonic orders and peoples of other species and kind, and they had peoples that had come even out of the pre-Adamic catastrophes, like titled King of the Nations, whose entire city and whose massive tribe had come from lands that had gone down beneath the waters. It said that even as Sodom and Gomorrah and these cities had in like manner, just like the fallen angels, given themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh of other species, of other kinds, of other races, and are an example to the end of the age. So what's that got to do with this week? I'm going to tell you why this whole conspiracy is designed to so throw you together with Negroes and with inferior societies to bring about your eventual mongrelization integration. I can quote one integrative authority after another. I can quote one Negro leader after another that they're not satisfied until they can produce mongrelization on the marriage bed. I've got a picture of this Abernathy preacher along with King. I've got it right here, just arrived from Selma, and his speech he made in a church last week, in which he says that when you black men can get these white women to accept you, he says, marry them whether mama likes it or not, because we're going to flow the blood together. I'm going to tell you, white men are going to dance on their graves before they mongrelize our race. Like, I have a picture of him making the speech, and I have the speech he made. Right here. Listen. So therefore, the Most High God said, because of this mongrelization, because of this attempt to mutate the race, there shall come great vengeance of destructive fire upon their order, their society, and those that do this. God says these people with this pagan philosophy, integration, and mongrelization are filthy dreamers. Hear this. They're filthy dreamers who would defile their flesh. They despise God's administration, dominion, and righteousness. I'm going to tell you what God calls them. He said, therefore, that even Michael, and he talks about how Michael condemned Lucifer, but he couldn't bring a railing accusation against him. But these evil people are speak out against the things of God and the purposes of God. They speak evil of things they know not. God said concerning these integrators, these mongrelizers, and these Negroes, they are naturally brute beasts to these things they cannot spiritually understand. What are they? They're natural brute beasts, he says. Woe unto them, because they have gone the way of Cain. What was the way of Cain? Well, the scriptures tell us some in the rather skimpy account that we have for Moses. We have quite a lot in the ancient Zohar and other contemporary scrolls and literature must have written much about it. One of the factors that we have is the violation of divine law that lost our race its glory and power, which God promised to restore but didn't lose its own identity. Was, of course, the Luciferian seduction of Eve and the birth of Cain. However, God had promised a redemption for the Adamic household and an eternal war between the seed of woman and the seed of the serpent. But I want you to know that the word Enosh is used quite often. It's used for all kinds of people except Adamites. And the word Adam is always used for the race which God brought forth as his own issue, the seventh-day creation. And this, my friends, is the white race. When we talk about this, we talk about how Lucifer seduces Eve, more subtle than all the beasts of the field. And this beast had clothes on. Remember that now. This was a walking creature. His emblem was the symbol of the great serpent. This was his sign in the sky. This was on his banners, dragon and serpent. But it was Lucifer, having left his first estate, seeking to destroy the race of God. God put the judgment on the measure. It wasn't until Seth was born that Adam says, I have now begotten a man in my own image. Even Abel had had contamination from the violation of law. And then what did Cain do? Cain took unto himself a negress. And when he went over to the land of Nod, he took him a wife among the Akkads, which were preeminently Negroid. And from them came the people known as Canaanites, who you and I know basically as the lighter colored Jews, but from the Negroes line, the dark ones. And we have from the records of the background of the empires of Sargon, which was Cain, and down through Naram Sin, we discover that there is a confusion. There are Negroids and Asiatics, both coming out to the king lines because of the mongrelization. Well, now there were black Canaanites, and there were lighter ones. We know that these people fought continually against the white race. Now let's point out that the great condemnation, according to the book of Zohar, the reason why he couldn't offer up a good sacrifice is because he had violated divine instructions again. Even as he had been born under transgression, he followed the transgression. He slew his brother, and then God turns and gives him also some very strict condemnation. He identifies the fact that some far more in his crime could even rule over him if he was not careful, for God tells that to Cain when he runs him out. Now there was somebody else involved right away. We point out to you that from the Zohar, they knew in the past, and they had all the writings and all the records of the things God had to say, the things that had happened, that were violation of the Cain line, and their mongrelization were producing dark strains of an abomination before the Lord. In fact, so great was it that later, when these forces were fighting against the Adamic race and had liquidated some of them when they settled in that part of Palestine that was earlier called Canaan land. Do you remember that when God sent your race after your exodus out of Egypt, after the experience through the wilderness, the occupation of Canaan land? But God said he would empty the land before them, that they were to march in and they were to conquer, and they were not to spare anything. They were to destroy it utterly. Every last one of the inhabitants was to die. Well, so that's the God of the Old Testament. Same God you got in the New Testament. There's a whole lot more than most preachers. Let me show you something. The book of Leviticus. In the book of Leviticus, we're getting what God taught and what God said. There's a reason for why he said it. He gives laws concerning the intermingling, laws of morality. And when he says, thou shalt not lie with any Enosh, it's translated beast here. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not defile thyself with any of these things, neither man nor woman. And he said, now, The land is defiled, therefore I visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself shall vomit out its own inhabitants. Now the Most High God therefore makes this statement. He said, when, remember how I ordered you to destroy when you entered into the land. Remember how I ordered you to destroy all the inhabitants thereof. Why? Because, he said, they had violated this law, and the land was filled with their abominations, and they were defiled. It's a rather interesting thing in looking into the declaration that the Scripture therefore said, I have given you this order, that if an individual therefore shall violate this law, how intermingle with the Enosh, thou shalt put him to death. If therefore a man joineth himself unto the beast of the Enosh, he shall be put to death, and thou shalt slay also the Enosh. If a woman approacheth unto the Enosh, the same shall be done. And remember, thou shalt surely destroy them, thou shalt kill them, and their blood is not on you, it's on them. So it says, Dr. Smith, what do you say? I'm just going to say that God is so firm on this matter that a person that mongrelizes his race and produces mulattoes and produces these evil things, God said, destroy them in the sea. That's where God stands on the matter. That's how evil it is. And I can prove to you with every contemporary writing along with this is they know exactly what they're talking about. This is exactly what they meant. They said, well, God shouldn't have said that. God knew exactly what he was doing. Therefore, God makes it quite clear. And he cites, therefore, remember, that it was this wickedness, that had been done in all the lands which I drove out before you. You hear this now? So the wife of God sent Israel in, wipe out the Canaanites, destroy before them, because they were a bunch of a mongrelized, putrefied flesh in God's mind, because of integration, mongrelization, and violations of divine law. And God says, I sent you in to destroy them, and I delivered them before you. And this is the reason why, God says. So they say, well, we don't live under this law. We live under grace. My friends, the grace of God forgives you for your transgressions and for your errors when you have intelligence enough to ask God for forgiveness. But just remember that as far as God's concerned, he says, ye shall be as a race, a holy people before me, as I, thy God, Yahweh, is holy. And therefore, I have preserved you from other people because you were mine. Because of their violations of divine law, because of their transgressions, he said their blood is upon them. I turn to what God says concerning this, point out that all down through the Old Testament, every time you find it talking about pagan races or other peoples, the word Enosh is used. Whenever you find it talking about the Adamic race, the word Adam is all through the Old Testament, but you see it translated as man, as white man. And God stands out with judgments upon this, and going the way of Cain is also to intermingle and continue to intermingle and to carry out a posterity of this putrefied flesh, God calls it. We read through the passage in the book of Ezekiel. God said, it is like the flesh of asses. It is like the issue of horses before him. Well, so this is just a little matter, you say, of who's going to vote. No. This is just a little matter of forcing an accepted equality, an integrated pattern, so they're trying to put them in your housing. They're trying to break down your racial responsibility. And one of the programs of interrelated housing is one of the strategies right now of your government to try to bring about the mixing of races. That is 149 white million people, 49 million white people in these United States. We'd better become aware of the laws of God We'd better recapture every area of our society. We'd better elect nobody but white men, and we'd better reverse this whole trend of evil. You know what your silly government's doing today? After having used the federal court and violate the concepts of even the state laws, they started this fantastic parade of 10,000 commie propagandists down from Selma to Montgomery. They started off this morning with old King out in front. Do you know that the governor of Alabama refused to spend Alabama money financing what the government ordered, protection to all these people? How are you going to protect them? You know, if you want to serve a hard taskmaster, you serve the devil, for the devil doesn't pay you off. The Communist Party and its carefully led stooges had planned mid-course to attack and injure and kill many of the marchers and blame it on the whites. So commies planned the march, commies planned the attack on the march in order to get more stringent, tyrannical, dictatorial edicts against the race. He said, I can't afford to spend money of my state for some 6,000 to 7,000 guards. The president said, call out the National Guard. Still have to pay it, still have to function. He was not going to do it. He says, you hire civil marshals. You see, if they had to have 6,000 United States Marshals, they're civilians hired to do this task, not troops. The president federalized the National Guard, sent in his own officers and military units, calling more in from Fort Benning, Georgia, and the army is today in Alabama guarding 10,000 revolutionists who carry out the objectives of the Communist Party. Among the strange things that's involved in this, solicitation for its welfare, they provided two great big circus tents for the 10,000 to sleep in each night. Boy, I bet that's going to be something. I don't think there's enough deodorant in America to make those tents habitable. Now, what are these poor hiking walkers going to do at night? Well, the film industry has sent them entertainers to entertain them in the evening, and some of them have Communist Party records. The United States government is setting up a most extensive field hospital, such as we would use for a military division. 23 helicopters are to fly back and forth between the field hospital and the marching ranks if anybody's sick or faint or anything else happens. The United States government is setting up military field kitchens. And so we're going to feed them, we're going to house them, we're going to protect them, we're going to give them aircraft to carry them back and forth, and we're going to provide them with an army escort. Why? Because they know that they got to protect them. Why? Well, whether they know it or not, the communists intend to make an incident, and white people are getting angrier. ...175 white people were marching in Montgomery yesterday. And they had one preacher with them that was holding up the Bible. I don't know his name, but he kept saying, the Bible condemns integration. God's word said no integration. God's word said this is evil. And he was walking down the street with 175 white people, and that's the first voice I've heard in the street that was reflected. The commie niggers set 5 bombs up. They wired them with up dynamite, timing device, one by a lawyer's home, one in the church, 3 more. But my, they were very, very conscientious in discovering them before they went off. Just before I left to come to church, the news flashed across television that they had now apprehended the Negroes, and the Negroes had sent in false reports that Klansmen were seen planting them, and the whole thing was set up in order to blame the whites and to get them before actually it did any great damage. And now they have been rounding up the Negroes that did it, and this whole thing was some of King's gang trying to blame the whites for an explosion that hadn't occurred yet, and which they had set up the whole machinery for. The Negroes were going to blow up their own places to blame the whites. They should have let them go high in the sky because it's what they want. I was even surprised the television and the radio would have the courage to say the Negroes set their own bombs, called the police, blamed the whites, got caught. In fact, where some of these bombs were, they would have never been found if the Negroes didn't know where to look for them. They wouldn't have been found until they were heard. This is the week that is. You have now come to the period of time in the end of the age when the continued strategies of the enemy now work in areas on a grand stage to try to bring about eventual acquiescence and eventual surrender to the design of making your generation like it was in the days of Noah. As far as the sensibilities of some who may be shocked when they hear this tape because they didn't think anybody would be this frank, I'm going to cite to you that God placed you down here to build the kingdom. He called you a holy seed. He said he put you above everybody on the face of the earth, and he meant it. This passage which I just read in Ecclesiastes, God says still and continue it, as far as he is concerned, that you're holy before me because I, Yahweh, am holy, and I have utterly severed you from all the people on the face of the earth because you're mine. I have severed you, not segregated, not integrated, but severed. Now, if you believe what I say, you know you're dangerous people. You ever stop and think that every white man that wakes up and believes God becomes a dangerous person? Why? Because he's going to think this, he's going to express it, he's going to radiate divine truth. So what do you think we should do with the Negroes? I think we should send them all down to Ghana. Or somewhere down in Africa where they've got now all kinds of Negro republics that have had the birth pangs of developing. Now they're there. Let's see what they can do. If there are those that want to stay, the evidence is still clear that they should have no influence over a white Christian society or any biblical order that God has any part of. There was a time when I knew much less. I might have gone along with those qualified, considering themselves literate, being able to vote if they could understand. And now, as I watch this whole area of violence, this whole vicious evil, this whole design to thrust this down our necks and to bring about our integration and mongrelization, the surrender of our power, and I turn to the Word of God, I am now more firmly determined that I would buck any up with all my life, any design to let them vote anywhere. I would support any policy by which we could get legislation that left the vote only in the hands of the white man. Now, there is no question about the fact that when God speaks concerning these situations, that he makes it quite clear he's talking about the bestiality, the soulishness, and the inability of some people to even observe this level. The days when Moses approached the mountain, the hosts of the Most High God were descending upon it. The command came to Moses, don't let man, Adam, or Eve stand on the mountain. The word is Enosh. In this instance, God speaks out against the violations of divine law that have occurred, every Luciferian design from the fall of the angels to the catastrophes that wiped out ancient civilizations were built around this pattern. Mongrelization, integration, absorption, one drinking, marrying, fraternizing fraternity. Why don't you go with me back to the book of Genesis, the 6th chapter. God said, "For the wickedness of man is great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart are now evil continually." God said, "I'm going to destroy from the face of this land." But Noah had grace in the eyes of Yahweh. Why? For Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Hear this now. Someone says the place profiteth nothing. Let me tell you something. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. In other words, there was no mongrels, no mulattoes, no mixed races, no offspring. There wasn't an honor to God. And because of this, he had grace in the eyes of God because he was perfect in his generations. So God said, "Though evil has moved down in defilement and abominations upon all the people in this land, except this man Noah and his generations." Noah's three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, had to all be white men, all Adamites, perfect in their generations. Because God saved Noah, he said, because he was perfect in his generations. And he looked down upon all that land, and behold, it was corrupt. For all the flesh had corrupted itself in that land. The word is a rat. It means that land. That's right here, the earth, but it means that land. So God said to Noah, "Because here is the end of all this defiled flesh in this land. Because they have corrupted themselves." Note this now. The earth is filled with violence. They have corrupted themselves. It's filled with violence, and I will destroy them from the land. What did God say to Israel? "Behold, if they violate this race law, if they produce mulattoes, if they intermingle with pagan races, if they do this thing that God said was against the law, he said, I'll drive you out of the land, I'll destroy you in the land, I'll bring violence on you because you're an abomination, you defile the land." You know, Jesus said, "Blessed is the man that teaches my law to obey it." So that isn't there any salvation for the ends of the earth, for all these races, through God's program, through the establishment of God's kingdom, by an atonement which God himself made. He bought the whole world and paid for all its transgressions, that he might redeem his own people, a precious treasure hid in the field, but not redeem them to violate law, but to spiritually energize them to understand and be so filled with his law that it's a part of their being and they keep it. Someone says, "Suppose this nation violates the law of God, what do we get? We get hell." Where? Right here on earth in this nation. We get trouble, we get catastrophe, we get every type of brutish result from a violation of divine law. God said, "This is the end of the age. And I'm going to stir up my people and I'm going to cleanse my land and we're going to break the power of the Canaanites and we're going to break the power of the forces of darkness." My, how many silly clergy have this day been extolling this road to abomination? The Methodists met over here in this big Methodist church the other day for this Arizona California conference, and its chief officials got together and they gave special citation of award to a group of Methodist preachers that went down there to march with the communists and the Negroes. We have listened to all kinds of empty-minded preaching, calling for total racial acceptance, mongrelization, integration, motion picture after motion picture, no longer can produce even a plot within their story to entertain people unless they find some way to bring in a breed or a mongrel.
and then try to make everybody look like they're vicious and like they're mean if they don't want to absorb or accept the mongrel.
They said, but we know so many people that are just the victims of this. The sins of the fathers descended upon the children, the third and fourth generation. But don't let it destroy your faith or your race. Don't let it touch your family. Don't, my friends, let it ruin your nation. Someone said, what do you do? God told Amos, send them out of the land. You get confusion of faith. You get a mingled countenance. They don't look like the house of God anymore. The scripture said they must not stay in the land. They said, well, suppose they're only they're a half-breed. They are the product of evil. They must go. Suppose they're only a quarter. They must go. 10 whole generations before they're even acceptable to enter into the presence of the place of worship. What does God say? They have filled the earth with violence, with abominations. And all the people of these lands have defiled themselves with abominations until I ordered that they be destroyed. Jesus said before Abraham was, I am, and this is what I said unto you, Jesus said. You see, Jesus declared, I gave the law. These are the words of Jesus. When I gave the law, these are the things I said before Abraham was, I am. I listen to what the preacher is trying to say. But thank goodness we have Jesus of the New Testament instead of Yahweh the Old Testament. Well, Yahshua or Jesus of the New Testament is Yahweh the Old Testament. They say he was so much kinder than he was in the Old Testament. But God was dealing with his people in the hour of his Messiahship in the consummation of his own atonement. It isn't kind to let evil exist. He was making an atonement for it. The next time you see him at the head of his fleet, my friend, he's destroying evil. There are a lot of people that are going to be crying to the rocks of the mountains to hide them in the very near future. Someone said, we're not saved by keeping laws that God made on race. We're only saved by accepting what Christ wrought in Calvary. This, my friends, is a spiritual reactivation. This is a removal of you, of all your transgressions. This is lifting everything from you and taking it upon himself. There could be no great eternal salvation without the finished work of Christ. It's finished. But the salvation of a society by obeying the laws of God are unchanged. By observing God's laws, you become blessed, you become successful, you become a powerful people. And by disobeying them, you become subordinate, destroyed, and the purpose of God would be defeated. God's never going to be defeated. Instead of the one-worlders, the mongrelizers, and the integrationists, and the new grand society triumphing in America, America is going to go through a crucible of reaction. It's going to end with a white Christian civilization built not only on the concepts of our founding fathers and in accordance with divine law, but the whites are never going to go out on the white race again. And those that have sought to lead us evilly and have advocated the ways of Cain will receive their own judgment. Someone said, well, Kennedy was one of the advocates of this. Where's Kennedy? Where'd he go? What happened to President Kennedy? Foremost instrument in helping to carry out this destructive policy. What happened? Oh, a communist killed him. Huh? To make way for something they thought they could handle better? Who would follow Mr. Johnson? And who would come after that? Who knows? I'm going to tell you something. You can't plow with the devil's plowshare and reap, my friends, the divine harvest. And no wonder a fellow looks like he's had a hangover or looks like he's sick when he comes out with something like this. I want to tell you something he knows this afternoon. He knows that he's lost the South. He knows that there's a great turbulence moving across this country because of what's going on this afternoon.
There's a lot of other people who begin to find this out. And I'm going to tell you that what's going to transpire is before this is over, people are going to come out of these pagan and empty churches in support of this kind of conduct, and God's going to raise up a standard for them to repair to, and they're going to join churches that are Christian and churches that advocate the program of God's kingdom. No one can ever say the white nations of the world didn't carry civilization, didn't carry the testimony of the true God to the land of witchcraft and abomination. No one can ever say that the white nations of the world and these United States have not helped everybody in all of their problems and their times of catastrophe. Whether it was judgments for their paganism or what it was that transpired, we were the first to still help them. Earthquakes shake Japan, we're in there first. Trouble takes place in far-off corners of the world, and America's first there with its airlift, with its supplies, with its mercy, and with its design to help. So let us not go down in record that we disappeared from the face of the earth, that our light went out because we became integrated and mongrelized, lost our vision, lost our initiative, lost our drive. Portugal waned as a world power because of excessive mongrelization integration. Egypt descended from the heights of the pharaohs to the sad thing it is today because of what has transpired among our peoples that have reduced their capacity. No one else ever heard, if they studied all history, of a great Negro society or civilization. I listened to another propaganda machine, the Moral Rearmament Program. This moral rearmament is a socialist design substitute for a true gospel. It wants an integrated, mongrelized world. One of its late officials that recently died, that they've made expensive motion picture scripts of his travels, said that Juno Kenyatta, the witch doctor who's massacring Mau Mau's killed and butchered whites, said if all Englishmen had been like this late leader of the group, he said if they'd all been like you, why, he said, we wouldn't have had Mau Mau's, we'd have all been one people. The president is calling on churches to support, on people to all get in and surrender. The great issue is the contract between states and the federal government. The issue is state rights, and the issue is preservation of race. You have had an opportunity to see that these people are pressing for violence and will continue to do so.